Scripture reading this morning will be from Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. Titus chapter 2, 1 through 8. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and to train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respect to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may not be put to shame, or may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to see all of you here with us today. We have embarked upon this year a theme about knowing God. This month happens to be the theme that relates to knowing His church. The verse that we've been using is Ephesians chapter 3 that I want to read to you, verse 20, verse 21, where it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be the glory in the church, and in Jesus Christ unto all generations forever and ever. Amen." Some very sublime thoughts, very wonderful things to think about and consider when it comes down to knowing God. I want to ask you a question about the things that we're going to talk about this morning. First of all, just very simple, and this has a lot to do with what we talked about last week and asking the question, what is church? Well, what is doctrine? And there's a lot of people that have never heard that word. And it may be because they don't want to hear that word, and probably because it has a lot to do with the fact that in their mind, it's a matter of limitation. It's a matter of you're putting something out there that's legalistic. It's a matter of you're putting some kind of restrictions, and as a result of that, that is not something that you want to present to people in the world. That's very offensive. It is not something that people would like to hear. What many people would like to hear rather than doctrine is just principle. Give them something that is very practical, something that they can place immediately into their life, and therefore to say doctrine is something that they don't think that really has any impact and relevance to their life. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. If you just use the term doctrine as something that really is something I can't really put into play into my life, then I want to ask you a question about one of the commandments in the scripture that says, "Do not kill." That's doctrine. That is, do not kill. That's a doctrine. And some people say, well, what I need is something hands-on. I need something to put into my life. Well, do not kill is a doctrine, but it is immediately and a hands-on command and immediately something that can be relevant to your life. The opposite of that is life. Therefore, you don't go around killing people. Therefore, that command is something that in one sense the word legislates all that we do and everything of our life. Therefore, that doctrine is very applicable and very relevant. Therefore, you just can't dismiss the idea of relevancy to saying, okay, I just need something that will be principal. Well, the word doctrine is a word that means teaching and instructing. It's what is taught to you. It's what's taught to you. And I must tell you that there are a lot of doctrines that are going on in the world. A lot of doctrines. One of them is found in the book of Titus chapter 1, verse 10 to verse 16 that I mentioned to you, and that is what Paul's writing to these brethren about, or specifically to Titus to tell the brethren about. There are some Cretans. He's leaving them here to appoint elders and put things in order in verse 5 of chapter 1, and I want you to know there are some doctrines that are going on there, one of which is, verse 10, vain talkers, deceivers, especially the circumcision, their mouths need to be stopped, He talked about how it was in verse 13. There are people who are, verse 14 rather, there are people who are professing fables, and they are commandments of men. So therefore, there are doctrines that are being presented in this place here, in this island, that he says you need to put men in particular places, elders specifically, in verse 5 to verse 8, that need to be there, as it says in verse 9, holding to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching or doctrine, that he may be able to both to exhort in the sound doctrine and to convict the gainsayers. So the sound doctrine is definitely something that needed to be here, and specifically we need elders there to guide these people in the right path, because there's all kinds of doctrines that are going around. Well, let me present something to you in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, you talk about doctrines. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, there's a lot of doctrines, there are a lot of places. And this one in particular, when he talks about this in Paul's writing to Timothy, he says something in verse 6. Talking about, from which things some having swerved have turned aside into vain talking and the desire to be teachers. Well, what do teachers teach? Well, teachers teach doctrine. And they teach doctrine. And in this he says, well, the law is good in verse 8, knowing this, that law is not made for the righteous man, but the lawless and unruly, the ungodly, the sinners, the profane, the murderers, and on down the line. Even in verse 10, it talks about the false swearers, the liars, and if there be any other thing contrary to the sound doctrine. There's a lot of doctrines that are going on, which are all contrary, and all that list there are all contrary to the sound doctrine. Now, we might look at verse 8 to verse 10 and say, well, there's a lot of those people that are going around. They're murderers, they're people that are lying, abusing other people. We see that all the time. And there needs to be something that will stop that. And definitely, there needs to be something to stop that. Well, what's the answer to that? We're going to find some practical, hands-on, common sense kind of program and initiative and ideas that will present to the idea that they don't need to be doing those kind of things. Well, the thing that you see in the scripture is the sound doctrine is what they're going to need in their life to dictate what it is they need to be doing. That will change the behavior that you see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 to verse 10. That is amazing how relevant the idea of sound doctrine is. I think it's very important for us to think about. Well, with that being the case, I want you to just think about some things with me this morning about doctrine. Number one, doctrine is crucial to everyone. Every person. And I think that's very important to know that this is something that everybody needs to be to have a part of their life. There needs to be something that will lead us and guide us and direct us and help us and teach us and instruct us, rather than just kind of going and doing what we feel like and what best suits us and what works best at this particular situation. If you look at the scriptures, and there's two instances in the scripture where this idea, as Titus chapter 2 verse 1 talks about, where this idea of sound doctrine needs to be presented. In Ephesians chapter 3, there's a case where you see in Ephesians chapter 3 where this plan that God had in the beginning was that there would be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God in verse 10, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. There was this plan that God had that this doctrine be presented by the church. It's the foundation of all that the church does. In addition to that, are the individuals that are members of that church, when you get to the book of Titus, as we see here in Titus chapter 2, verse 1, where he mentions, but speak thy things which befit the sound doctrine. You need to speak these things, declare these things, make these known. What's in this is vital for every person. And as you begin to see this, verse 2, the aged men. Verse 3, the aged women. Verse 4, the young women. Verse 6, the younger men. This sound doctrine is going to befit all four of those characteristics and all four of those people in life. And I think that's very significant to understand when you talk about how valuable this sound doctrine. It's crucial to everybody. It reaches every single aspect of every single individual. Now think about this just a minute with me. When you think about this sound doctrine, a lot of people say, well, what we need to do is we need to make sure that we preach Jesus. Well, when you talk about the sound doctrine, it is the gospel that contains Jesus. Jesus is in it. He's in this. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Son of God. All of the things that pertain to Him are in this doctrine, or in, we would say, the gospel. How important is that? When you look at verse 2 through verse 10 of this chapter, a lot of people will look at that and say, well, there's where the rubber meets the road. This is where we've got this hands-on application in the relevancy of the Bible. And these are the qualities and characteristics that all aged men, all aged women, all young women, and all young men need to have. Where are the aged men and the aged women and the younger women and the younger men getting this information? How do they know this is the way they're supposed to behave? They get it through the sound doctrine. Why it is so important that this doctrine be something that we have that's crucial to everyone is that somewhere along the way, somebody's going to leave a church building or somebody's going to leave your home and say, well, that's what my mom and dad said. That's what our preacher was teaching in a lesson. That's what our Bible class teacher said. In other words, they are going to copy whatever it is that you're teaching. And that's why it's so important that the aged men and the aged women become who they are in verse 2 and verse 3 to teach the younger women and to teach the younger men how they're supposed to be. Where in the world do these men get it? They got it from the doctrine. And they're going to preach to these, teach to these young men and these young women so that they can copy it the same way. There are a lot of parents in this room that are probably concerned about all the many, using it in the context of our terms, they're so concerned about all the many things that their children are hearing. And you think about all the many doctrines that your children are hearing, from books to TV shows to Facebook to magazines to all kinds of different, from friends, all kinds of different avenues where all these kind of doctrines are heard, and therefore they're very concerned about what their children are hearing. Okay, here's the remedy for that. Instead of vocalizing our concern for all the many things that our children are hearing and all these many various doctrines, then just take the sound doctrine that Paul talks to Titus about and says, teach that. Teach that to the younger women and the younger men. Teach this information to them. Yes, be concerned about the fact that all the doctrines are there, but yet they need, in the midst of all the doctrines that they hear, they need this sound one. Because it's crucial for them at their age as it is crucial for you at your age. Why is this doctrine so important? Well, it's a mirror. It's a mirror. In other words, the doctrine happens to be the mirror by which you are doing what you're doing. Whatever that, let me just put it in a generic term. Whatever the doctrine is that you're following is the mirror that you're looking at to reflect what you're thinking, what you're saying, where you're going, who you're with, what you're doing. It's reflecting all about you. Therefore, what this doctrine is very, very important. Something that Ron read to us just a moment ago that we need to go back to here in the book of James chapter 1 is very important to know, where he talks about this mirror, which he says in verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, for he beholds himself and goes away and straightway forgets what manner man he was. But he that looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continues, this man will be a doer. Be not a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Therefore, what you're looking at when you're dealing with the doctrine is a mirror. It's mirroring what it is that you're doing. Whatever that doctrine is, therefore the sound doctrine is so important. Especially when it comes to interior design. There's a lot of women in this audience this morning that probably know a whole lot about interior design. And they know that there are certain things that an interior decorator would come into your house and say, well, this is the best furniture and the layout for this room, and this is the best color for this room, and this is the best thing that goes in this room. And they know from their experience, or probably some of the current culture colors that are out there, that pastel goes here and bold colors go here and all those kind of things. They know this because they're interior designers. They know exactly what goes best where. And usually we want to find a good interior decorator to put those designs and those furnitures and those colors exactly where they fit best. When you talk about the doctrine, it mirrors from God what it is that we're supposed to be like. It tells you what you are, but then it really reflects what you should be doing. It says, this is the design. This is the real design of what God made for you. Therefore, this doctrine is mirroring who it is that God wants you to be. Very important, very significant, is it not? We become to be exactly who God molded us, created us into being. Therefore, we just can't just pick out whatever doctrine we want to follow. We just don't do whatever feels good, but because God's not doing what feels good. He's doing what's right for us and giving us this doctrine. There is something very important about this doctrine that needs to be understood, that when you look at the word sound in the Greek language, and specifically in this text, you may have seen it, some of you may have a little indication, that this word sound doctrine is a matter of healthful or healthy doctrine. You show me what you read, and I will show you what you believe. Show me what you eat, and I'll show you who you become. And that thought that people discuss in the world related to eating is very true when it comes down to this right here, the sound doctrine. And that is, you become to be what it is you eat. There's been so much going on in the last generation, 20 years, of people that are really looking into health foods. They are going to the grocery stores and they're reading the labels. Everything and all the specifics and all the ingredients of everything that's on every label. Not only that, they're looking into more organic foods, and therefore they would be willing to pay more for the organic foods. And all those things because when they ingest that, they know that that's going to make them be healthier and feel better in life. And they take great pains in the generation that you're in, more so than the previous generation, to make sure that they're eating the quality kinds of foods for their physical well-being. They are taking super, super, super care to do that. They don't want anything that's contaminated. They don't want anything that's not organic. They don't want to take anything in their bodies that is artificial, rather. Man-made. While they take so care of doing that, it just seems like they're so relaxed, so at ease, so nonchalant, and so undisturbed about the true doctrine, the healthy doctrine that they should be ingesting. That brings about their great spiritual well-being, and not only brings about spiritually healthy Christians, but also brings about spiritually healthy churches. To ingest the sound doctrine is to ingest what is pure, what has no error. It is clean. It is righteous. It is good. It is, in the term of the scripture, it is sound. That's the value of taking in this sound doctrine. If we want to know just how valuable this sound doctrine is, then let's look at the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and notice very carefully verses 12 to verse 14 what this sound doctrine gives us the ability to do, where he says, "For when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food, for everyone that partakes of milk is without experience of the word. A righteousness, for he is a babe, but solid food is for full-grown men, even those who have by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Therefore, if you take the sound doctrine and you begin to mirror it, you begin to sense what is good and evil. And what a wonderful quality would have in our mind if we can determine and have the discretion about what's true and what's false and what's good and what is evil. Therefore, that's why this doctrine is a mirror of all that you do. And then thirdly, let me let you think about this. The idea of the doctrine is what changes everything. It changes everything. Look at this in the book of Romans chapter 6. I'm going to allude to this just a little bit later. But in Romans chapter 6, there's something that is stated by Paul as he writes to the Romans about being a Christian in the first six verses of this chapter, about being baptized. Then he says something in verse 17 as it relates to this. He says, "Thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine." Some versions use the word teaching. "That form of doctrine whereunto you were delivered, be made free from sin. You became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now present your members as servants in righteousness unto sanctification." You see what it's changing? It's changing all there is about you. That's what this doctrine is doing. It is taking this mirror, obeying it, and then it's transforming you and changing you into a different person. And I must tell you, into a different person that some people thought they'll never change. You will never change their actions. You will never change their behavior. You will never change their devotion, their commitment, their focus, their desire. You just might as well give up. And this is what this sound doctrine does. It has the ability to make changes. It changes everything. That when there is a person that once they heed the sound doctrine and obey it, then it becomes to be in the lives of other people believable. Well, it does do something that I never thought it would do. It does perform in the minds of other people, it performs miracles. But yet it's really not performing a miracle. It's just a matter of that person ingesting it. As we talked about that healthy sound doctrine. And they're ingesting it, and as a result, out comes this good, caring, loving, responsible, disciplined, strong, courageous person. It's making the changes. And that's very significant when you think about this right here, because there are a lot of people out here that are really not listening to it, to the point that if they don't heed the sound doctrine, the only option that they're going to find is to believe something that the book of 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about is a lie. He begins to talk about this, about the man of sin and what he will present to people, and that is this lawless one will be the one, even he who's coming is according to the working Satan in verse 9, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceit of blind righteousness, for them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God sent them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged to believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That's the alternative. To a person that decides that they would not want the sound doctrine, but now this is what they do. They go to the lie. They listen to the lie. They listen to another doctrine that the book of Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to verse 9 talks about, that we don't need that different one. We don't need any other one than the one that we've got. When it comes down to sound doctrine, there are most people that really don't want this. They just don't want this sound doctrine. Let's just leave well enough alone. Don't try to give me information, instruction, teaching that is different than what I've heard the last 20 or 30 years of my life. I don't want to hear it. I've been doing this, whatever I've been doing, and believing what I've been believing for the last 60 years. Why should I listen to anything different? Well, when you look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, here's what is the tendency to happen as a result of somebody that doesn't listen to the sound doctrine. "For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap themselves teachers after their own lust, it will turn aside their ears from the truth and turn aside to fables." That's what they'll do. They'll go in a different direction. They'll listen to the lies. They'll go and listen to another doctrine. Therefore, you got an alternative here. If you don't want the sound doctrine, then you want something that will be comforting, something that will be easy, something that will keep you lazy, something that will allow you to be indifferent, something that will allow you just to maybe continue the course of what you're going. If you don't want the soundness, that's what you've got as an alternative. And there's far too many people on the other end, like verse 3 and verse 4 this chapter talks about, that would rather just say, let's just leave this alone. Don't give me something that's going to cause me to change at this stage of my life. But then there are other people that do. There are other people that do want to change. In this, I think there's something to be said for what I mentioned to you a while ago. If there are people that don't think that this idea of doctrine is of value, if they would rather have you talk about, as one man said, at the church where we are, we don't preach doctrine, we just preach Jesus. They don't understand that to preach Jesus, where they say they don't want doctrine, Jesus is in the doctrine. Therefore, if you want Jesus, you've got to take him out of the doctrine that God put in him. And you got to take him out of the gospel. It's very important to know that when we talk about this idea of how much this changes everything, it changes from, if they don't believe it, then take them back to this passage here in Romans chapter 6 and let them see that what the doctrine is doing is changing from the servant of sin to the servant of righteousness. And some of you may be thinking, well, what if they don't listen? What do you do when people don't want to hear the sound doctrine? Do you rant and go out in a rage, or you get mad, or do you say, you want to grab him by the neck and say, why don't you pay attention to what's going on? Or do you come to the realization that since there are people that don't want to hear the sound doctrine, just resign yourself to say, you just can't teach people the doctrine anymore. There's not anybody out there that wants to listen to it. Is that what we resign ourselves to believing and thinking? When Paul instructed Timothy here, and as I've already mentioned in verse 3 and verse 4 of chapter 4, notice what he says in verse 1. I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by the appearing of his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Or some versions use longsuffering and doctrine. It's a matter of just taking the truth and just continually presenting it, even though people will roll their eyes at you, even though people will issue all kinds of criticisms against you, even though there'll be people who will mock you and say, well, that won't fit, and that's not going to work, and those things aren't going to be able to convert and change anybody. You think about it. Here, and I want to go back to the case over here in the book of Titus again. In Titus chapter 1, if the idea of the sound doctrine isn't going to work, then God sure did waste a lot of ground here with talking to Titus from the mouth of mouth of Paul, and saying, these mouths in verse 11 must be stopped, these vain talkers, these deceivers, all these people. And he says up here in verse 13, for which cause reprove them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables, commandments of men, who turn away from the truth. And he says, those that are defiled, those who are unbelieving, all those whose minds or conscience are defiled, if he sure did waste a lot of ground and a lot of pages and a lot of ink and a lot of inspiration if this doesn't work. But and then he begins in chapter 2, verse 1, speak the things which befit the sound doctrine. He wastes a lot of time on Paul's part, on Titus's part, to try to get elders in the church to lead the church in the way that they should go so that they would be those kind of people. The last verse of Titus chapter 1 tells you two things that Paul wanted Titus to do. Exhort and reprove. Exhort and reprove with sound doctrine. When it gets to the point when they won't listen and they rather just let it stay the way it is and don't come to me with something that's going to change my way, he says, just stick to the basics. Just stick to what's already been stated. In lieu of all the liars that are there, in consideration of all the undefiled, and in consideration of all the immoral, just keep speaking the truth. Because there's somebody that will copy what you say. There will be somebody that will copy what you say. I'll tell you, if we get to the point that we want to change the content, in other words, we don't want the sound doctrine, if we change the content, then we start changing the context. And by that I mean, if we say you can't take the truth and give it to a liar because they don't want it, they don't want to pay attention to it, you can't take the sound doctrine to the defiled, they don't want it, you can't take that content and present it to them in the context in which they live. Okay? What you need to do is just change the building. Change the style of the building. Let's change the colors. Let's change the style of the worship. Let's change the time of the service. Let's change what we do in the service. Let's just change all these kinds. Do all these kind of modifications but here's the thing. You change the content, you change the context of all that's going on as it relates to the individual Christian, to the church, and to their life. It changes everything. That's why this doctrine is so important. It changes everything. And most people don't know how impactful it is. If we're not grounded in this sound doctrine, then please be advised, we're going to be easily convinced by false doctrine. We're going to go that way. That's what we're going to do. We're going to develop something different than what's stated within the sound doctrine of the Scripture. Here are five questions that all of us need to ask ourselves. Number one, where am I getting my information? Number two, of what am I a student? What am I studying? In other words, you think about all the many doctrines that I mentioned to you earlier. What are you studying most? And I'm studying. And some people say, "Well, I'm studying for a degree." I know that. I mean, that's logical. But yet, what are you really studying? And what influences my thinking when I speak? And what comes out of my mouth? And number five, where do I get my knowledge or my wisdom? Where's it coming from? Where's all this information? Where's it getting? Where's it leading? It's very important to know that the sound doctrine is what brings a place where we make application. Every church that wants to be pleasing to God gains their information from the sound doctrine. Every individual Christian, if they seek to please God, gets their information from the sound doctrine. Every means of worship that we engage in is a matter of pleasing God, and we get this from the sound doctrine. If you think about the work of the church, you put all that into play when you find yourself looking at the sound doctrine, the healthful doctrine. And here's something I think is very important for all of us to understand. Doctrine needs to come off the page into the heart. It needs to come off the heart into the life. And it needs to come off the life into the world. That's where this doctrine needs to come. And when it does that, it makes all the difference in the world. In you, it becomes crucial to everyone, and it becomes to be the mirror by which you look at to say, that's what I need to be doing. Versus the way I'm living now. Whenever there is a sermon taught or a Bible class lesson and you're in that class, when you get through that class, what's the thought that you have as a result of that lesson or that sermon that you've heard? In other words, is the Holy Spirit stirring you through the message that you've heard? Or are you to the point of saying, so what? So what? If the impact of the message that is coming from the sound doctrine leads you to just to say, so what? Then here's what's going to happen.
soon as we leave here, I'll give you an example. As soon as we leave here, we're going to go eat. We're going to go home. We're going to turn the TV on. We're going to take a nap. We're going to talk about our schedule for the week. We're going to do everything to get rid of all that spiritual noise that we heard for the last 2 hours. If it's so, what? But if the Spirit is moving you through that sound doctrine, then it's going to convict you to say, let's talk about this. Let's pray about this. I need to repent. I need to change. I'm seeing something that I don't like to see. And before you caught it, before you caught seeing it, God already saw it in the mirror. There is nothing in the world that will lead to greater social change in this world and leading people to Jesus than the people that see this sound doctrine, read it, believe it, and obey it. And that's what we call upon you to do today. Several people in the New Testament did that. Some said, well, let's hear this again. Some immediately obeyed and some just walked away and never came back. But take it off the page, into the heart, out of the heart, into the life of the person that wants to obey in the water and be baptized. And then out of that life and then to the world who need that sound doctrine just as much as you do. Do what's right. What a good that we sing this song.